Now we're gathered here today for the purpose of giving thanks to God for the harvest. And as we said this morning, it is but right that we should do so. We ought never to forget that we're totally dependent upon God for the harvest. If God were to withhold his blessing, if he were to withhold the refreshing rains, and if he were to withhold the sunshine which ripens the grain, and so on and so forth, then the harvest would undoubtedly fail. And we are deeply indebted to Almighty God for his goodness to us throughout the world, but in particular in this little land of ours where the harvest never seems to fail. Sometimes, as we have said this morning, it's greater than others, but the harvest never fails in this land of ours. We ought not to take that for granted, but we ought to thank God for it. We do, of course, thank those who labor in the harvest field, who plant and sow, so that we might enjoy the fruits of their labor. But at the end of the day, it is God who gives the harvest. And it is good that we give thanks unto him, and that we come into his presence at times like this with joy in our hearts and give praise unto God for the harvest. But we also pointed out this morning, you will remember if you were with us, that every harvest is a type of another harvest that is to come. It is a pointer to another great harvest, of which we read in the book of the Revelation. And that is the harvest of the earth. And it is the harvest of immortal souls, when God Almighty will come, sitting on a cloud, Revelation tells us, with a crown upon his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. And he will put in his sickle and he will reap the harvest. The harvest of the gospel, the harvest of the souls of men, the harvest of the earth. And we're hurtling towards that great harvest. Now, also, we pointed out this morning and dwelt in particular upon the joy of the harvest, because the harvest brings joy. And that great harvest, as we learned this morning, will be an occasion of great joy to all the children of God, to all the people of God, to all who are looking for and love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also pointed out that there are two aspects of this harvest that is to come. There is that bright aspect of the harvest of which we were speaking, in which we joy and rejoice when Jesus comes and receives from the world his own. But then there is another aspect, another side of that harvest. Because not only is the Lord going to come and reap his harvest, reap the wheat and gather them into his barns, but he's also going to reap, our text tells us, the tares. And they're going to be bound and they're going to be burnt in God's hell. That's a very solemn thought. Now, we've looked at the joy of the harvest this morning, and this evening we want to look at that more sorrowful aspect of the harvest, when the Lord comes at the end of time and gathers the wheat unto himself, but gathers the tares, the unconverted, the ungodly, and binds them for the purpose of burning them in a lost sinner's hell. I hesitate to use those words. They seem harsh, they seem hard, but they are the truth, and we need to speak the truth at all times. This aspect of the harvest is set forth for us in our text for tonight, for the Lord says that he's going to tell his angels to gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. So we have here in the first place the people who are to be gathered on this occasion. They are described in our text as tares. Gather ye first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. You see, dear friends, there are two types of people in the world, and only two, as far as God is concerned. There are the saved and there are the unsaved. That's only two categories of people that God knows and considers in the world today. We split humanity up into many categories, but God just divides humanity into two. The children of God, whom he calls in his word and in our text, the wheat, and the ungodly, the unsaved, the unconverted people, whom he calls in our text, the tares. The wheat, of course, are God's own dear people. They are those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, they have forsaken all hope of saving themselves. They've abandoned all self-righteousness, and they look to Christ and to his finished work on Calvary alone for salvation. They've come to that place in their and time in their lives when they realize that they are sinners, born in sin and shaped in iniquity, conceived in sin. That's not that they were conceived out of wedlock, but it means that the parents were sinners, they were born of sinners, and they themselves are sinners. And we are all born in sin and shaped in iniquity, so the Bible says. And these people, the wheat, have come to that place and that time in their lives when they realize that they're sinners. They're sinners by nature, they're sinners by birth, as well as sinners by practice. And they realize that the wages of sin is death. And they've come to a realization of the fact that there's nothing they can do in and of themselves to obtain salvation, or in any way to make some kind of propitiation for their sins. And they've come to realize that the only way whereby they can be forgiven their sins, the only way whereby they can be reconciled to God, the only way whereby they can be delivered from death and hell and destruction is by putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And they have turned from their sinful ways. They've repented of their sins, and they have believed in Jesus and trusted him as their Savior, and they've rested their souls upon his atoning work on Calvary's cross, his substitutionary death, and they've put all their trust in him who alone is the Savior of sinners. He's the only Savior of sinners. He's the God-anointed, the God-appointed Savior of sinners. And so the wheat are those who have come to rest in Christ and trust in him as their Savior. The Bible also tells us that these people are those who love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So we read in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we can gather from that that those who have the love of the Father dwelling in them no longer love the world. That is, they do not take any pleasure or joy in the sinful activities of the world, the sinful pleasures of the world. They do not think as the world thinks. They do not practice the things the world practices. They have received a new heart. They have become a new creation. They are new creatures in Christ. And they have turned their back on the pleasures of sin and the things of this world. Once more, we're told in Romans 8 and 9 that these who are called wheat are those who are indwelt and led by the Holy Spirit of God. If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. They are also said to love the brethren, that is, their fellow Christians. John, in his first epistle, 2, verse 11, says, he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because darkness hath blinded his eyes. And so the person who is saved is a person who has come to know Christ as his or her personal Savior, who have turned their back on the world, its joys and its pleasures and its sinful activities, and who have come to love Christ and to love God and to love all that is holy. They are persons into whom the Holy Spirit has come and taken up his dwelling and his abode. They are persons who are guided and led and directed by the Holy Spirit, who walk in the paths of holiness. They are people who have come to love their fellow Christians and rejoice in them because they are members of the same family, the family of God. Furthermore, they are said to be those who obey the commandments of God. 1 John again, chapter 2, verse 4. He that saith, I know him, that is, he that saith, I know Christ, he that saith, I am saved, if you like, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And so that is how the Bible describes those who are referred to as the wheat. Those, if you like, who are Christians. Those who are born again Christians. Those who have been to Jesus for the cleansing power and have been made white in the blood of the Lamb. That's the wheat. They're the ones that are going to be gathered on that great harvest day that is to come and gathered into the barns of God, that is, into the heaven of God. But there's another type of person mentioned here, and that is the tares, or the weeds, if you like, that were sown in the farmer's field by an enemy. And the enemy that has sown them is, of course, the devil. And these tares, on the other hand, are those who are the opposite of all that the wheat is said to be. They are those who are without saving faith in Christ. They are those who do not see their need of Christ. They are those who love this present world, love its sinful pleasures and activities and entertainments, and run in the ways of the world. They are those who trust in their own selves. They think that their own righteousness is sufficient to get them into heaven, that they are good enough people to get to heaven in and of themselves without the aid, without the help of Jesus Christ. They do not need Christ. They do not need his atoning death. They do not need his atoning blood. They can do very well, they think, without him. They love not the people of God. Indeed, they have no time for the people of God. They are bored with the people of God. As one lady said that I know of about Christians who go to a prayer meeting, she couldn't understand them standing there talking to themselves. She couldn't understand that. And she would never go to a prayer meeting, for she found no joy or pleasure in a prayer meeting. She found no pleasure or joy in the company of God's people. These people, the tares, are carnally minded. They walk not after the Spirit, but they walk after the flesh. So there are these two kinds of people. And on that great day, the day of the last great harvest, the harvest to which all other harvests point, the Lord will gather in the wheat, the children of God, the people of God, into his heaven, where they'll be safe and safe for all eternity. But the ungodly, the unsaved, the tares will be gathered, and they will be bound together, and they will be burnt in God's hell. You'll notice that our passage reveals to us that many of these people, these tares, bear some resemblance to the wheat. It seems that the tares to which our text refers were very like the wheat in its early stages and could not be detected as tares until its final stage when the ear appeared. So for a long time, the tares took on the appearance of the wheat. Now, I said this morning, I'm not a farmer or the son of a farmer. I know nothing about sowing and planting and reaping and tares and wheat, only what I've read. But I understand that these tares that our text refers to, bad seed, and it has in its early stages a likeness unto the true wheat, and it's not discovered until the last. And there are many of the tares, and they're like that. You see, they bear a resemblance to the wheat. They bear a resemblance to the true people of God, the true seed of God, because they probably go to their church. They are religious. They read Bibles, they say prayers, they do good works. And in many ways, they appear to be Christians outwardly. But they're not, because they're void of the new birth. They've never been born again. They've never been regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. They've never come to repentance from their sins and faith in Jesus Christ. Their whole trust, their whole reliance is upon their own religion, their own self-righteousness. And they appear to the outward world as though they are the wheat, they are true Christians. Now, we know that there are going to be such on that day, for Jesus tells us of the day when he will come and he will sit on the throne of his glory and he will judge the hearts of men. And many will come to him and say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We did many wonderful works in your name. But Jesus is going to say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. You see, they were only professors of religion, but they were not possessors of God's salvation. And so we have these two groups of people, these two kinds of people mentioned here, represented by the wheat and by the tares. And one day they're going to be gathered by the Lord. I wonder this evening into which group you fit. To which group do you belong, dear friend? Are you a Christian, a true Christian, not just a Christian in name? Not a Christian because you've been baptized as a child or in any other way? Not a Christian because you go to a Christian church? Not a Christian because you read your Bible, but a Christian because you've been born again. You have the new birth. You have repented of your sins. You've believed in Jesus. Are you that sort of a Christian? Are you amongst the wheat? Or are you amongst the tares? It behoves us to think well in this matter. We may not give much mind to it now, but the day is coming when it'll make an awful difference. When the Lord comes, when the Lord descends from heaven with a shout, with the trump of the archangel, and reaps the harvest of this world. You'll notice not only the gathered, but you'll notice the gathering. Consider the manner of it. It is a gathering together of all the tares that is set forth before us here. There is no distinction made between the different grades of ungodliness or unholiness or sinner. They're all grouped together. And when that great harvest day comes, all the ungodly, all grades of ungodly persons, all kinds of ungodly persons, not just the very wicked ones, but the ones that do not consider themselves wicked, the ones who have an outward veneer of religion, but have not the Christ of God in their hearts, all will be gathered on that day. All together. What a terrible, terrible thing it will be to be numbered with all the sinners that have ever walked the face of this world and this earth. You know, in the course of my ministry, I've had occasion to minister in the prisons in our country. And I have met some people that I wouldn't like to be locked up with. I really wouldn't. Some of them I really wouldn't like to be locked up with. I think of my first visit to the Crumlin Road prison, and the prisoners were all brought in, and I started to try and make conversation while the others were being gathered. And I asked some of them why they were there. And my dear friends, I wouldn't even come over the crimes that they were charged with. I would not like to be locked up with people like that. But when that great day and this great day of harvest comes, all the tares, all the ungodly, will be bound together with the worst of sinners, murderers, thieves, harlots, the foulest of criminals. All will be there. What an awful thought. And you, my decent, religious, but unsaved person, will be there. If you read there in the book of Revelation, where we're given account of the inhabitants of hell, those who will be in the lake of fire, we read amongst the idolaters and the murderers and the wicked, the very wicked people, those who are referred to as unbelievers. Unbelievers. You say, that's not much of a crime. It's enough to bring you down to a lost sinner's hell, friend. If you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will all be gathered together. You notice the manner of this gathering. The angels will come and they will tear out of the soil the tares. The tares may have had a great grip on the soil. Many's a time in my garden I try to get the weeds out and I discover they've got strong roots and I can't get them out hardly. But these tares will be rooted out of the earth that they love, rooted out of the place that they love, the place of their sinful activities. They will be torn out, and not only so, they will be bound, and they will be dragged before Almighty God, the judge of all the earth, and they'll give an account to him of their actions. Now, that may not strike you as an awesome thing. I know there are people, and they really don't give that much thought. I know a young lady who said, whenever she was challenged about these matters, "Oh, when I stand before God, I'll have it out with God." Oh, the poor fool. The poor fool. I want to tell you, the Apostle John in the book of Revelation, when he saw the Lord, he fell as one who is dead. As did Isaiah, and the holiest of men tremble and fall before God. And you, my unregenerate, unsaved sinner, you rebellious soul against your God, your maker and creator, do you think you will stand before God in that day? Oh, not a word of it. There'll be no arguing with God. There will be a separation take place. For the tares and the wheat will not be brought into the same barns, the same place. The wheat will be gathered into the barns of God. That's just a figure describing the house of God, the paradise of God, the Father's house, where they will be for all eternity in everlasting happiness. But the tares, they will be brought into another place, a place of horror, a place of eternal misery. And there will be a separation. Oh, today, our parable tells us, the tares and the wheat mingle. Even in meetings like this, they're saved and unsaved. Throughout this land of ours, in churches, saved and unsaved. The tares, if you like, the unsaved come and they mingle with the saved, the wheat. But today is coming when there'll be a great separation take place. And these two groups of people will never meet again. And the sad thing is, some will be separated from their saved loved ones, separated from their family and friends that have come to know Christ as their Savior, and they'll never see them again. Gathered, bound in bundles, and burnt. This figure here is intended to set before us the horrors of an eternity without God. Burning is, I suppose, to us the worst thing, the worst kind of death we can think of. Certainly, Rome, ancient Rome, thought it was a terror that would frighten the martyrs and make them recant of their religion. And so they tied them to stakes and they burnt them to death. And the idea of being burnt to death fills us with fear. But my friend, eternity is worse than that. The flames of hell are eternal. They never are quenched. So the Lord Jesus tells us, the fire there is not quenched. The misery is unspeakable. The misery is unspeakable. And so there will be a gathering of the unconverted, and they will be bound, and they will be bound in order to be burnt. Now that harvest is coming, dear friend. And I don't want any of you to be found amongst the tares. I don't care who you are, what you are, what you've done. I don't want you to be lost. And I plead with you tonight to lay this to heart. This is not an easy message to preach. Some people don't like it. A lot of people don't like it. They will condemn me for preaching it. But listen, it's the truth. You need to know it. Better find out now while you can do something about it before it is forever too late. If I could make you drink the water of life, I would, but I can't. I can lead you to the water, but I can't make you drink. That's up to you. That's up to you tonight. Let me tell you, not only do I not want you to be lost, not only do I not want you to be found amongst the tares, but God doesn't want you to be found amongst the tares. It's not his will that any should perish. So the Bible tells us. There's no desire to see anybody bound and cast into hell. That's not his will for anyone. His will is rather that all should come to repentance and be saved. And we find it in this book, the Bible. We have exhortation after exhortation to the unconverted to repent and to come and to believe in Jesus Christ and trust him as their Savior, that their sins might be forgiven, that their sins might be blotted out, that they might be numbered amongst the wheat, that they might be numbered amongst the true children of God, and that they might go at last to heaven. Listen to this exhortation from Isaiah chapter 1. God says to sinners, and if you read the chapter, the first in its context, the chapter in its entirety, you'll find that he's speaking to the worst of sinners. The worst of sinners. Yet God says to them, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God doesn't want you to perish. God wants you to be cleansed and forgiven. And there, right through this book, there are many invitations. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. He invites everyone and tells his angels not to prevent anybody coming to the water of life. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. He says, come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Listen, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth in him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. And my dear friends, there is the reason why we're preaching this message. Why we're saying these things. I don't want you to perish. God doesn't want you to perish. There's salvation for the worst of sinners. There's pardon and cleansing for all. If you will repent of your sin and trust Christ as your Savior, I trust and pray God that tonight at this harvest service, you will heed the warning voice that you will make the Lord your final choice. May you do so for his dear name's sake. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee tonight for thy word, for thy presence with us, for the messages in song, and for the message from thy book. Lord, this subject we've been considering is not a pleasant subject, but it is a reality, and we need to face it. We need to know and realize that there is a harvest to come, that each of the harvests that we enjoy and celebrate here in this earth all point us to that great final harvest when the God of all the earth shall put in a sickle and reap the harvest of the earth, when he will gather up the wheat, the saved, into his house, into his fold, into his barns, and he will bind the wicked and cast them into hell. Lord, we thank thee for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank thee that all who believe in Jesus, regardless of their wickedness and their sin, how vile they may have been, if they trust in thee, they can be saved and know themselves to be amongst the wheat of God. Hear thou our prayer now, Lord. Bless thy word to every heart and part us with thy blessing, and bless our further fellowship together after the meeting and the refreshments we're about to receive. We give thee thanks for them and pray that thou will bless the hands who prepared them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.